For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready, set. Spartan Race is back for 2018, and we're accepting no excuses. Barbed wire crawls, tire drags, spear throws, and much more. Whatever your ability, you'll discover the right challenge for you. Take on our 5 to 25 kilometre events designed to push you to limits you never knew you could overcome. Complete an obstacle course race and let adventure back into your life. Are you ready to unleash your inner Spartan warrior? Visit SpartanRace.uk.
Well, welcome everybody to the TOT cast. I decided to take the reins for Chris O'Kranz today because he wants to watch the NBA Finals, which took 8 days. 8 days to get ready. Could have been a different night. They decided
not
to.
No, it actually took over 300 days to get ready.
That is actually true. But it decided to do it on the night we don't want to do our podcast. We got a couple of new features tonight. One of them is we're actually doing video. So we got Austin and Omar in studio here at the Centennial College Radio Studio. And this is Austin's debut on the podcast.
Yes.
So welcome, Austin.
Thanks,
and then we got Chris and Jake Skyping in because I told them they had to. They had no choice. So we got Jake over from the States. Chris, he's out in Mississauga.
Somewhere in Mississauga. Undisclosed location.
So we have some pity on Chris too for tonight. He's stuck in Mississauga tonight. So before we talk some Leafs, we got to get a little NBA Finals prediction from these two since they're probably at odds on who's going to win it. Chris, who do you have in this series?
Well, you do even have to ask Jake. Like, you see what he's wearing, right? You see on the video.
Well, you never know. He may just be wearing it to troll. That is something that Jake would do.
Like, you know, hopping on whoever's going to win the finals each year.
Yeah.
You, Jake? Warriors in five. It'll probably go six, but I'll take Warriors in five.
Okay. Jake?
Warriors in six.
Warriors in six. Okay, so I've heard a lot of Warriors in five as well. Okay, guys, since we're not the biggest basketball guys, we're going to make our predictions anyways. Austin, who do you got?
I have Warriors in five as well.
Okay.
I'll be bold. I'll say a Warriors sweep.
Ooh, nice. Okay. I'm going to say Warriors in seven just because
nice.
I don't like being the trendy guy. But we're actually going to get into some Leafs talk because that's what the podcast is for. We're going to talk some off-season stuff. We've got hasn't been a lot of chatter, but we got a couple things we have to sort out here. We also have some news that I wouldn't even call it breaking news, just some news about a couple of prospects and their status going into next season. So where do you guys want to start? Do you want to start with the prospects? You want to just get that out of the way?
Sure. You want to touch on that or?
Okay, well, we already know that two prospects weren't given contracts, so Stephen Desrochers and Fabrice Hertzog were both not given contracts. That means they become free agents. Jake is so sad about that. I could see the look on his face. He's just distraught. So what do we make of this? Do we make anything of it?
Not really. The fact that these three are – two, I guess, if we're talking about that now, we're released, just means the Leafs system is really stacked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't see DeRoche making the Marlies next year, to be honest with you. He had a good year in Kingston, but I don't know if I'm just the only one, but I haven't really heard a lot about him since he went from Oshawa to Kingston. He was obviously somebody that was talked about a lot after he was drafted. He had that good Memorial Cup run for Oshawa, but haven't really heard much about him lately.
So the third player, by the way, was Nikita Korostalev, who will be re-entering the draft. So he's not a free agent, so he'll have a chance to get redrafted. Do we think he's actually going to get a substantial draft ranking? Jake, since you've watched the kid probably a little more than us, You think a team's going to take a flyer on him?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, he's obviously he has a talent, but he kind of runs hot and cold. He's really inconsistent. He'll either look like a first-round pick one night, and then he'll look like he should be playing in the ECHL. I mean, to me, obviously there's a reason we didn't sign him, because we didn't even think he'd be able to make the Marlies, so I can't see him getting drafted. No, he's probably going back to the KHL.
And then we got, I mean, Herzog, the only thing notable we've seen him do is score an overtime winner against Canada, where he absolutely made, I think it was Chris Lee, he made him look like a KHL defenseman some regard with that overtime goal. So, yeah, I think I'm on board with that. It's not, I mean, these guys, if they haven't cracked the system by now, I mean, they were drafted, a couple of them were drafted when the Leafs didn't really have prospects.
Yeah.
So for the fact that they didn't make the team during that time period, I don't think it's really bad news there.
Yeah, well, I think another thing just to add on before we move on is that the Leafs right now sit at 37 contracts out of 50, so they have 13 to go through expansion, the regular draft, whatever they want to do with free agency. So I think they're past the point where they can just hand out contracts to anyone. They kind of have to know who they're actually going to invest in and then put faith in those players instead of just handing out random people. Like Bill said, they're not really like high prospects or people we're going to miss. You know, the Leafs are already stacked on the wing, and they haven't done anything in junior. And Herzog's been playing in Switzerland, so he played with Matthews for like 1 year. But besides that, probably, like you said, Dave, scoring against Canada was probably the most notable thing he's done in the past couple of years. So them being gone, I'm impressed. Well, not really impressed, I guess. I guess I'm just happy that the Leafs are being smart with how they run their contracts now.
Mm-hmm. All right. The main reason I wanted these two guys here tonight before they go and watch some basketball, I have a little fun little segment we're going to do. I'm going to ask each of you guys three players that you want the Leafs to go after this summer. So I'll start with the two guys since they've been patiently waiting to get their airtime. Let's start with Chris because Chris has been a little quiet too. Chris, three players you want the Leafs to go after this summer. It doesn't have to be all UFAs. It can be anybody. Three guys you think the Leafs should go after.
Freedom market is pretty bad, to be honest with you. I mean, there's not too many guys out there. A lot of it depends on who re-signs where. I know a popular name being thrown around a lot is Joe Thornton amongst people because they want a second-line center, which puts a lot of question marks around Bozak. But I'll go with like a low-end guy that I'd like to see him trade for first before I pass off to Jake here. But I'd love to see him go after Braden McNabb. I know everybody's talking about going after the Anaheim guys, and that's the easy selection here, or even Minnesota or Florida. But a guy like Braden McNabb is a physical third-pairing guy, still pretty young, left-handed shot, but he does a lot of things well that could replace Roman Polak, and the cost to acquire him would probably be pretty cheap. So I know everybody's on the Minnesota, Florida, Anaheim guys, but that'd be another guy I'd definitely like keep an eye on here.
So we got Thornton, we got McNabb, you got a third?
Yeah, TJ Oshie, I mean, is the guy that stands out, but I think he'll go back to Washington. But if he was available, pencil him in the Toronto top six, and he fits perfectly. He'd be like the premier guy, but again, I don't think a lot of these top-notch guys are going to hit the market, to be honest. I think they're going to re-up with who they're with and kind of make this a really shitty free agent class.
All right. So, Jake, moving on to you. Your three players.
Are we being realistic or?
I guess right? I guess we can. You can pick one guy who's just unrealistic that you want, but let's make it realistic.
Okay. Realistically, I'd say Tom Wilson on the Washington Capitals. I mean, he's a restricted free agent. They're getting into a kind of a cap crunch. I thought he was all over the ice against the Leafs, and he was a big time player for them, and he proved that he can play up and down the lineup. I think he'd be a really good third line center, and he could definitely add some size to the lineup because it's really lacking outside of JVR. And number two would be probably Josh Manson. Again, he's probably very unlikely to go anywhere considering how good he played for the Ducks, but you know, you never know. And the third guy would be, you know, Matt Dumba, another realistic guy, because I think, you know, he was drafted the same year as Riley. There was talk that maybe the Leafs would take him during the draft. He's a right shot defenseman, he's young, and we have the cap space to pay him too, so I don't think the price would be too onerous either. But those would be the three guys for me.
Okay, now we're going to the room. Let's start with Omar. Omar, your three guys.
Okay, before I begin, Jake, don't hate me.
That's a good Kyle story. Quincy.
Say it. Kyle Quincy. Do it.
No, I'm not going to say Kyle Quincy. A couple of podcasts ago, Jake actually brought up a good point how he would have liked to see, or like in the future, to see the Leafs use their cap space a little bit more, considering the fact that they'll still have Loophole and Horton that they can put on LTIR and open more room and then maybe take on a bad deal and then get something in return. So for my list, I kind of also looked at maybe players that can fit in, but also maybe someone that a team that we can kind of help out to get an asset. So in terms of UFAs, because I'm not really comfortable having Ben Smith as the fourth line center going into next year.
Nobody is.
Yeah, even though he was injured this season and stuff, but I'm not really for it. So in terms of UFAs, maybe if Nick Bonino wanted to come around. He made nice. $1.9 million this year, and he obviously is a UFA. So, if he wanted to re-sign, obviously he's going to want to ask for more. So maybe like a 2.2 or something like that. Maybe like a short-term deal. It could help to stabilize that fourth line. Another person, I think we're talking about this off-air. I don't know who posted the picture, but Chicago and Vegas are talking about possibly leaving Trevor Van Riemsdyk free, and after if they did that, then the Golden Vegas Knights would have to take Marcus Kruger in a deal. So if that doesn't happen, we all know that Chicago's over the cap. Maybe the Leafs can help them out there. Even though he only had 17 points this year, he mostly started in the defensive zone. You can throw him on that fourth line center as well. And then finally, Jake, brace yourself, Mike Green.
Yes.
No.
Mike Green.
1 year rental.
One year rental. He makes $6 million for this year, and that's it. He plays on the second. He was playing on the second pairing. If you bring him in, we can have him on that third pairing, because if it's Dermott, if Borgman makes the team, if Callie Rosen makes the team, you want to have some sort of veteran stability on the bottom pairing. And sure, he's not the best defenseman around, but if you can just have him on that lineup, maybe Babcock can bring out the best of him, and then that could be something. And then one more person, also Jay Beagle.
By the way, Omar and Austin are at a bit of a disadvantage because they can't see Jake and Chris on the monitor like I can.
I can see the top.
And I gave
head.
A little chuckle when I saw Chris.
I felt Jake's anger.
It wasn't more of anger.
I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
If Matt Martin made 2.25, he gets 2.5 per season. Isn't Bonino going to get at least 4? There's already talk Brian Boyle is going to get higher than Martin at 3. So would that not mean Bonino is going to get 3.5, probably 4?
Yeah,
that's some moron will pay
if,
him a ton.
If he leaves Pittsburgh, he's getting more. But I think, and Jake talked about this, they have a really good chance to win 3 cups in a row. So why would you want to leave? It depends on what he
wants.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they can't pay him, but he may just want to stay for another cup.
What's the highest you pay a guy?
You could get twice as much going somewhere else.
That's true.
What are you guys comfortable paying a guy like that, like a Bonino?
3.5.
Yeah, 3.5, I think.
And so who would you rather have, Brian Boyle or Nick Bonino?
Nick Bonino.
Yeah. I would have Bonino just because he fits. I think his style of play kind of fits the Leafs more than Boyle. I mean, Boyle played well. I just think
Brian Boyle's 6'6" all the time.
he's good, but that's a lot for guys 31.
I agree, but we know how Babcock tends to fall in love with these guys. Like you guys have pointed out a lot.
Yeah. Babcock, yeah, well, that's
he likes
why he's
player,
not the
he will war.
It happens.
Yeah.
All right, Austin, give me your 3 players.
All right. First guy I have isn't exactly a very exciting pick. Kyle Quincy. No. Matt Hunwick, I think, would be somebody the Leafs should look at. I mean, I wasn't exactly a huge fan of him on the third line at the season started, but, I mean, he did well for himself, and he wasn't completely useless going down the stretch and in the playoffs. So, I mean, if you're looking for a guy that could be a stopgap person and just fill in there for a year on the third pair, I think he's the guy that could do it.
Jake, don't say it yet. We'll get to that in a second. All right, second guy.
I can't see him, so I'm assuming he's.
It's not. It wasn't. Jake was left speechless. I'll just say that much.
I mean, like you said, with the guys that Babcock's kind of tied to, he said on multiple occasions, Hunwick's a good pro. He likes him. I can see it just for a year, and obviously, what was it, $1.5 million he was at, or even less that his contract was originally. So if you can get him for cheap and he doesn't completely blow it out there, I mean, why not bring him back for another year and just have him be the guy there?
All right, your other guys.
Another guy I had was Brendan Smith. I did like him. I thought maybe another cheap option. I'm mostly just going defense here because I don't see where you can fill in a guy besides a guy that can replace Boyle. I'd rather see the Leafs replace or re-sign Boyle rather than look for an option on him because I think he fits that fourth line role perfectly. Brendan Smith I do like. I think he's a guy that can, again, fill in there. And another guy, my third guy that I know Jake's not going to enjoy because we've bantered about this, Cody Franson.
He's already not liked your first two. And
yeah, I know.
I think he missed the chat. You weren't in the chat when Jake's basically criticized Brendan Smith.
I know, but we're talking about guys that can fill in. You're not going to hit a home run, unfortunately, and then there's not many guys that are going to step in and be a stud unless somebody really surprises.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just sort of looking for guys to fill the gap until your guys can come up next year.
And who's your third guy?
I put down Cody Franzen. Obviously, that's not a popular pick for most. I said that Jake would not enjoy that pick. I don't need to see him to know he doesn't enjoy that pick.
Yep.
Well, Jake doesn't make the final decisions for the Leafs, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, just let's get slower on defense. Old cement feet.
Yeah,
can you get slower than Roman Polak?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hard to get slower than Roman
that
Polak.
Is getting slower. That's getting slower.
Fair enough. I don't know. If you're looking for right
you know what
shots,
would be funny to watch Connor him go to like the Flames and have to turn around and catch McDavid. It would be like
be
watching
awesome.
An old man with like you know those things with the two canes connected.
Nordic pulley.
Hey.
No, the thing that they push that's like has four legs.
Yeah. Well, hey Jake. I mean, the Flames are going to need a right-handed shot defenseman when Dennis Wiedemann leaves, and then I mean Michael Stone is not guaranteed re-signed there, so. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility to see Cody Franzen with the Flames. Especially.
Well, if we did, he would be a minus 20 if they ever played the Flames. Unless he's basically just sitting in his own blue line.
Which is also possible. All right. My three, because, I mean, I want some fun. My first one.
I hate this free agent class, by the way. Like, I hated every one of those picks because it's just like.
Okay. Crap. Well, and you went the free agent route. I'm doing more of the trade route. My first pick is Jonas Brodin from the Minnesota Wild. I saw him at the World Championships. He was, I mean, Sweden had a stacked D-core, and he was pretty good. He's shown he has some offensive capabilities. I mean, could you imagine seeing Nylander throwing him pucks at the point and he just rifling them? I think left-handed shot also makes it a little bit of a tougher decision on that part, which is why I'm going with one of Jake's picks is Matt Dumba. He's a right-handed shot guy. I think he could. He has really good offensive stats. He does need a new contract, so he's gonna. He's cheap for the. I think he signed for this year, and he needs a new contract this offseason. So, and he's also gonna cost a lot. So that's why I kind of Brodin is the first choice, and then my final one is from Anaheim, and it's Josh Manson. I mean, Jake and I are kind of on the same page here. I like what Manson brings. I want a guy who has some grit, and I want a guy who can actually play in his own end. I like what Manson did in the playoffs for Anaheim. So those are my three guys. Now, second part of the segment, I haven't even told these guys what they have to do. So you got your three guys. So Lou Lamoriello comes to you. You're Mike Babcock. He says, I took into account the three guys. You can only choose one. I can only make the deal for one guy. Who is that one guy you want?
Okay, this is pretty unanimous. I think we should all say it at the exact same time.
Wait. So so with the way it works, I'm going to go back to each one of you, and you're going to tell me the one guy that you'd want the Leafs to choose from your three picks. All right, Chris? Who's the guy?
I think
you want?
We can say it unanimously. It's so obvious.
All right, do you want to do
Chris
it on,
Russell?
Do you want to do it on three?
Okay, three.
Two. Two.
One, Josh
Kyle
Manson.
Quincy.
That's because you're driving the Josh
We're all
Manson
thinking
fan
it.
Club bus, dude.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm on the Kyle Quincy bus.
You're on the Kyle Quincy bus.
He's a good player.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
he'd
make the most.
I mean, if we want to be like a Make-A-Wish Foundation, like the Sabres are, then that'd be a good plan. Last I checked, we actually want to win something.
Okay, here, you can pick one. Manson or Dumba. Who are you taking?
Manson.
Why?
Because he's just a better defender, like pure defender. We don't need more offensive guys. I mean, you've got Gardner and Riley and Zaitsev who can all get 40 points offensively, and they're good skaters. Manson is just a really good skater, and he's a shutdown guy. We don't have one. I mean, Morgan Riley shouldn't be playing shutdown line minutes.
Yeah, to build off that point, like if you're watching Manson in the playoffs, he brings that physicality that a lot of people talk about the Leafs, the defense not having at all. And then, you know, before, the only person who had that was Roman Polak, and you know, it's pretty. I'll be really surprised if he comes back next year. So Manson will definitely bring up that shutdown defenseman that we need. And we actually have to stop like going to all these like offensive defensemen because there's too much. Like we have too many defensemen who want to like hold the puck and make plays. And if you look at Morgan Riley, like what Jake brought up, I think one of the reasons why he struggled so much this year is because he's playing a new role that he wasn't used to. You know, we're used to Riley like holding onto the puck, you know, going joining the rush, skating around, holding onto it. But this year he was brought on the task of like being the shutdown guy and actually not having the opportunity to make that many plays. So I think if you bring in more defensive minded defensemen, then that leaves Riley the opportunity to actually play his game and play the way he wants to play.
All right, I'm keeping an eye on the clock in the radio room here. We got 4 minutes till tip off.
We got 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Tip off is 9:10. 9:10.
All right.
Tip off.
Cool. This is where the YouTube segment ends for the show. All right. So if you are watching this on YouTube, go to SoundCloud, go to iTunes, make sure you watch the rest of this podcast because we got a couple more things we want to get to. So just make sure you get to that. Moving on. All right, we got some guys that are still need to be signed, some guys that could be leaving. How do we replace these guys? So if they were to leave. The two RFAs are up front. We have Connor Brown, we have Zach Hyman. Those guys,
they're getting re-signed.
They're getting re-signed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they both are.
There's no reason why they can't get a deal done. I mean, if Zach Hyman is looking to cash in,
he can fuck off if he wants to cash in.
There Sorry. It is.
There it is.
So how much can the Leafs get for Connor Brown on the open market?
Okay, so we've had some conversations. We'll say conversations. We'll be polite. That there has been some articles on the Twitterverse suggesting,
Connor
not
Brown
even suggesting.
For Josh Manson straight up.
Don't be shy. Say it out there. The other side of the network, Editor in Leaf, is writing some garbage about Connor Brown being traded. Don't be shy.
Okay. First off, there's no basis on this speculation. Let's just get that out of the way.
We cannot.
As Jake says, it's fake news.
We cannot confirm or deny who.
And if Jake, the American Canadian, is saying fake news, it's definitely fake news. Yeah. Like
it's some pretty hard fake news.
It's some pretty hard fake news. So let's anybody who actually thinks there's a possibility of Connor Brown being traded.
No,
I don't see that happening.
No,
I mean. It's not happening. You
didn't even think the guy was going to make the team. Like, who expected him to be this good? And now he has a 20-goal season, and we're just going to ship him off?
20-goal season, and he was
up. I thought he would have 20 goals.
I'm not saying nobody thought he was going to have 20 goals. Like, at the start of the year when he made it, it was kind of like you sort of saw how he played. But, like, whoever thought he was going to get to this point, it's just great that he's in the NHL.
Yeah, another thing to build off that is that it wasn't like he was having success with one line. Like, Babcock was moving him all throughout the lineup, and he was still producing. He produced with Bozak, he produced with Matthews, he produced with Kadri. So, something like that, if you can sign him to, like a five-year deal, and then why wouldn't you not want to keep that?
If you looked at my article that I posted, beginning of the month I posted?
I wrote about him too, Dave.
We all like Connor Brown.
Omar's
like, I wrote about him too, guys. No, and I said, Jake said this many times too. Jake was kind of him who started it off saying, if you can get these guys signed to lower cap hits, give them a little more term, why don't you do it? And it makes sense. Other teams have been doing that too. Montreal did it with Brendan Gallagher. That was a big one. Trying to think of some other. I mean, when Duncan Keith signed with Chicago, I mean, They knew that contract was a sweetheart contract. I mean, we're not saying Connor Brown is going to get an 8-year contract, but
was because he got like a 13-year deal.
Yeah,
and unfortunately,
so
he can't do that.
If you tell Connor Brown we're going to give you a 5-year,
13-year deal, he might take 13 years for like $20 million.
If you're the Leafs, you're going to Connor Brown and tell him he's getting Rick DiPietro money.
No, literally, like that. Like that's the pitch. Like, you just look at him like, listen, you're from here. You're part of like arguably one of the greatest rookie crops of like at least history. And
Of all time.
Yeah, and we're building up to something really well, really good. So, you're not gonna get like a whole boatload of money because you still are the fourth guy. We still have Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. But if you want to be part of it, take your term, take your money, sit down, and let's have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at like Connor, and it's those are all great points. I mean, I know some people who know him. There's no other place he'd rather be.
Yep.
I mean, that team also took a chance on him with a late round pick.
Yeah.
And he's taken that opportunity. He's ran with it. So I can't see him going to the Leafs saying, "I want to get paid," because he knows Matthews needs to get paid, Nylander needs to get paid, Marner needs to get paid. So
yeah, that said, you can't don't dick him around, don't like lowball him. He should get like $3 million a year.
He should be get paid what he's worth, but also realize we're not gonna
on the open market. He's probably worth $4 million, maybe.
Yeah,
he should get 3.5 or 3.33 is what I would give him.
And that's a legit offer for him.
Yeah, I mean a 25 goal scorer who can get you 45 points a game, can play up and down your or a game a year, get you
25 points a game. I would take that.
Yeah, 25 goals a game. I'd pay him a hell of a lot more than $3 million.
But. Okay, you want three? We'll give you 3.5.
Talk about a sweetheart deal.
Even look at deals like Wayne Simmons on Philly. Like he makes like 3.975.
That's a steal.
And that's a steal. You know what I mean? So like,
by the way, that I think. Whenever, if he's ever a free agent, I think he would be the most perfect fit.
That would be freaking wicked. I would buy a freaking Wayne Simmons jersey.
He's from Toronto, guys.
He's from Scarborough.
Well, hey, Scarborough is part of Toronto now. Yeah,
my neck of the woods.
It's hopeful. Hey,
Joe Ward and
Austin will make
Wayne
the pitch
Simmons.
Then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like with these guys, you might as well play on how much of friends they are. Like Matthews, Marner, Connor Brown, all these guys are really tight. Like. I'm sure everybody's seen this week Gardner, Morgan Riley, Golfin.
Yeah.
These guys are very, shirts. Very, very close. So I think if you're Lamoriello or the Leafs brass, you can kind of picture them the whole – Babcock likes to talk about the Patriots a lot and how they have success and what goes into it. Part of that is them playing on the strings of guys that are, friends and who's important, and they're taking discounts to stay together.
Well,
the Leafs
can
easily go that route.
Yeah, I know the Patriots really do that?
No, they let go of some guys, but who's important, they always keep there. They pay the guys that matter.
Yeah.
Whether it be under the table and giving Brady some real estate deals, that's a whole other topic. But the Leafs can easily do these kind of things.
And everybody else is replaceable. Everybody else is replaceable. I mean, and that's where we go next is the UFAs. These are all guys that can be replaced, maybe not to their caliber. Like Brian Boyle is going to be tough to find.
Can we talk about the saddest departure?
Who would be the saddest departure?
Robidoux Island is no more after this offseason.
Oh, no. He's going to be here, man. I bet you they're going to keep him with the Marlies.
Oh, I'm just saying.
They're going to give him a job. That's seemingly what it's gotten to the point where you take care of us, we'll hook you up with a job. But
yeah, I mean,
it's a good idea.
It is a great idea. I mean, and I'm sure he wants to be around the rink. I mean, I think what Austin's saying is it's going to be sad not to see Robidoux under the LTIR
Can you really call it Robidoux Island if he's not under contract?
Well, he was
the
origin.
Loophole Island now.
Yeah.
Loops Island.
Loopton? Loopton Island?
I don't know. I mean, Nathan Horton's still there, too, so we can figure out a new clever name for that. That's your task, Omar, for the next one. Come up with a clever name for the new Robidoux Island.
All right.
Although Loophole stay won't be that long.
Yeah, it's just as long as he stays off.
No, that's only another year, and then we have to call it Hortonville?
Hortonville, that's pretty good. That's a good start.
That could work.
Yeah. That could work. I mean, so we look at the UFAs. We got Matt Hunwick, Roman Polak. So already one pairing is gone. You got Brian Boyle. He's going to most likely leave. And who do we think he's going to be going to, Jake? Who is the guy? Where is Brian Boyle going back to?
Tampa Bay.
He's going back to Tampa.
So, you can't tell me that Steve Eisman didn't tell Brian Boyle, "We're trading you to the Leafs because you're going to make the playoffs to the Leafs and you're going to come back with us." So
That almost backfired on them.
And they'll use the pick we sent them to draft some superstar. I mean, it's going to happen.
They're going to light us up for 10 years.
Every time we're watching, I mean, the Memorial Cup, we're watching some sort of tournament involving rookies.
World Juniors, you're like, who is this stud? They're like, Tampa draft pick. I'm like, oh, fuck off.
I mean, Sorelli was one.
Braden Point, Taylor Radish.
Although Radish was pretty sad after that Memorial Cup loss, which we're going to get to, by the way.
That's what they get for having that stupid blonde hair.
Wait, Jay. We're going to get to that. We'll let you have your rant on that, all right?
We'll see how Howden does as well, last pick.
Let's just go with the any free agents I'm missing there.
And
McElhinney too,
and then McCulloch, Lyke, and Greening, who are already out the door anyway. So,
so we're not re-signing any of them.
No. That we knew that. Although,
unless Greening comes back to play center for the
Marlies. No. Stop.
Are we really
an
that,
NHL contract?
Are we really
that's
that
it.
Desperate?
Yeah.
Do you not see the centers on the Marlies? Colin Greening was the first line center.
He actually wasn't that bad when he played for the Marlies. I didn't mind him that much.
Yeah, we had Cal O'Reilly, but he was a loan from Rochester. Then Brett Finley, but he was like a ECHLer.
And Gauthier is not coming back.
I think he was playing with Trevor Moore a bit too. The game I went to, those two weren't bad together.
Yeah. So the Leafs have a couple holes. They have one defense pairing that needs to be addressed. The backup goalie situation, which will need to be addressed, and then we got the fourth line center.
Yep.
We've kind of gone through some names. One name that I don't know how it got out there. I think TSN was the one that pointed it out. Jake, hold your vomit for this one. John Mitchell, former Leaf.
Oh, God.
Was rumored to be.
Sign someone from Colorado? Pass.
Full circle of life for that guy, man. Started with the Leafs, comes back, you know.
The only person
there's
should,
only one like guy Brad I want Boys from the 2. Avalanche, 0. And it's McKinnon.
There's only one person I'd want to sign from Colorado, and it's whoever runs their social media for that great attempt at trying to make our season seem positive.
That's a good one there, Austin.
Kale Gregorenko had 14 points this
season. Yeah, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, good Lord.
Our goal differential was over 100.
Man.
Carl's...
We were almost as bad as the Atlanta Thrashers.
Soderberg was only a minus 14.
So we're a big no on the whole John Mitchell.
That guy or girl is the MVP of the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay. Who realistically could the Leafs get as their fourth line center? Because it is not going to be Ben Smith.
Realistically, you don't know that. I think it might be. I honestly think
Why
it might
are you doing
be.
This to me?
No, I'm trying. Okay. We're all Leafs fans here, so we all know something called optimism. We've had loads of it over years, right? And as much as we can think about, you know, maybe this guy can sign, maybe this guy can sign, and yeah, Toronto does look like a more attractive organization than in previous years. But I think it's gonna be Ben Smith. I think their whole plan of, you know, signing Ben Smith so you have that extra person to expose, then you can protect Matt Martin for some reason, and then or not even because Eric Fair is still on contract, so it could possibly be him too if Vegas doesn't take him.
I mean, there's a couple decent names just looking at the UFA list. I mean, there's not a lot to go off of top talent. But I mean, you got guys just looking through here, Daniel Winnick could be a guy. Former Leaf, he can play center, and he was not actually too bad. I actually liked him when he played for the Leafs. John Mitchell is there, obviously. I haven't seen him play since he left the Leafs. I don't watch the Avalanche, so I couldn't tell you. Nate Thompson had a really good playoffs. He could be worth a look, but obviously he has that injury from the Ducks run. I forget what it is—an ankle, hairline fracture, or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
Peter Holland's a free agent, but he's also arbitration eligible. So.
Yeah, he's also never coming back to the Leafs.
No, Peter Holland screwed us. All he had to do was play well enough so they can either trade him or re-sign him, and he couldn't do that. So thank you. Thanks for that.
So Chris and Jake left very politely, by the way. Chris left a little more politely than Jake did. Jake kind of just like
G2G.
Just kind of left, but they good sports for saying as long as they did. I mean, I don't know what's going on in the game, but
who would be somebody interesting? I don't even know. I'm just looking at the list here. Curtis Lazar would be something. RFA.
That could actually work because he is looking for redemption. Like, did he even play after he got traded to Calgary?
I'm not sure. I think
Who's this?
Curtis Lazar.
Curtis Lazar, he played a bit. Ottawa messed that kid up.
He's an RFA. I don't even think the Leafs would be thinking about it, but he's a name out there that could be in the realm of possibility because obviously Calgary's pretty good up the middle right now.
Like, honestly, I would be okay with the experiment. It's just because I feel like Calgary will look okay. So we have former high round pick. He probably has some kind of like low hidden potential, whatever, and then people might use that to try to get some kind of like huge return for him.
I've got it.
It'll enlighten us.
UFA is number 50 on Cap Friendly's list.
Is it ranked by cap hit or by?
When I hear Leaf great, I just cringe.
He is great. Traded in the Dion Phaneuf deal. Casey Bailey.
No.
We're not going there. Okay, hold on. This is like we're getting to editor and Leaf level right now.
Casey Bailey can have a second coming. Score against Montreal. I think like the second last game of the season in like 20.
I'm really reaching here because now I'm just getting into like Greg McKegg. He's a free agent. I'm just looking for former Leafs at this point.
At former Leafs.
Yeah, Greg McKegg.
We're in the dark road I don't think any of us really want to go on.
We're in the throwing stuff at a wall and hoping it sticks portion.
One thing I want to say, Greg McKegg, thanks for Zach Hyman.
And
the realistic thing, like I think Winnick, I did like Winnick when he played.
Winnick wouldn't be a bad option. I just think he likes...
He
liked Washington, but Washington is cleaning house.
Was he one of the guys that did the Roman Polak thing where we traded him and then he came back?
We traded him twice.
We got a lot for him actually.
Well, the first who did we trade?
We got Carrick back for him.
Sorry, we traded him to Pittsburgh first. Then we re-signed him. Then we traded him
and then he got Like and Carrick.
We pulled him.
Second for that as well.
We got a second and Connor Carrick. So, and that was another thing I was going to talk to you guys about. We'll get into Connor Carrick a little more because I got to do his end of season review, and I'm not sure what to really think of it.
Sorry, I just kind of dumped that on you.
Daniel Winnick is an interesting option. I just don't know if he fits what the Leafs need. Is he a guy that has the speed? Because, look, you think about what the fourth line is going to be. I mean, Matt Martin will most likely not get claimed by Vegas.
Yeah.
And I don't even think he's going to get exposed.
Yeah.
Kasperi Kapanen, if he's on the fourth line, guys...
There's a problem.
There's a problem. I mean, there's a problem in that Zach Hyman hasn't been moved from Austin Matthews' line.
Yeah, that was my one gripe. Sorry to cut you off there. With the Matthews line is that I think it was a tweet earlier in the year. Is like for a guy that's supposed to get Austin Matthews the puck, Zach Hyman sure doesn't have a lot of points.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean,
he has his chances.
They say he gets him the puck by creating space for him being that forechecker. Kapanen is a guy that has the physicality to do, like, he's not the Hyman physical.
That he flies, and he's not afraid to get in there.
And the thing is, also, I feel that if you were to have Kapanen, Matthews, Nylander, those are three, like, if you're the defending team and you see those three go into the offensive zone, then you're like, what the heck?
Sorry, I was just letting the guys know, since Chris and Jake are gone, we can take these god-awful headphones off.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I feel like, so to your point, like, I'll give Hyman his kudos. You know, there were points where, you know, you see Hyman, like, go into the boards, so circle around, you know, feed the puck to Matthews in the slot, and after he scores. But, like, say if you put a more skilled person on that line, like, how many more points would Matthews have had this season?
Especially with the chemistry that Nylander and Kapanen have on and off the ice.
This is my suggestion. Put Connor Brown in Hyman's spot. Put Kapanen in Brown's spot. And then put Hyman on the fourth line. Because what you do there, I think Kapanen can deal with the Kadri, that line, give them that offensive player they need. And because he's relied on to play shorthanded, his speed alone makes him a great fit there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Hyman gets moved down to the fourth line, which is where he should be. And Connor Brown, obviously Babcock's not huge on the whole, you know, playing a guy on his offside. But I think Connor Brown has the intangibles. And, I mean, obviously he's a more skilled player. He's a guy that will be able to, you know, play in the dirty corners. He's not the biggest guy, but he's smart. Mm-hmm. He knows where to pick his battles, and he can get Austin Matthews the puck. He can make plays.
I think The biggest thing with Hyman is, I guess the first year he was with the Leafs last year, you saw that he was sort of that guy that could bang pucks in from in front of the net.
Yeah.
He had a lot of goals from the dirty areas. And with Matthews, you guys have seen how good Matthews is at picking pucks in the slot.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need Hyman in the slot with Matthews hanging out there waiting for loose pucks to bury top shelf.
Yeah.
And so Hyman, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no.
Hyman playing in the corners, he's not as effective as if he was standing in front banging in pucks.
And Connor Brown is a guy that works really well. I mean, if you ever watch him with the Marlies, playing off the boards.
His cycle's really good.
He cycles really well.
Yeah.
So Matt, and he's played with Nylander before. He's played with a top caliber player in Connor McDavid and juniors. So that's where I think that would work. So we kind of got into a bit of the we didn't really talk about the fourth line center as much as we would like to, but that kind of
better not be John Mitchell.
Better not be John Mitchell, that's for sure.
Bring back Bates Battaglia while we're at it.
Oh. I don't even think the amazing race and Bates Battaglia. I don't even think that's the biggest problem for the Leafs. I mean, having Ben Smith play would be a problem, but it wouldn't be as big of a problem as the Leafs not having a last pairing.
It'd be a pretty big problem.
See, I feel like the left side is already kind of reserved for a rookie. Wouldn't you say?
It's either Travis Dermott, Callie Rosen, or Andreas Borgman.
Yeah, and I read an article, not even the Leafs. that had a quote from Borgman, actually. I think it was a Swedish reporter talked to him about his decision to come to Toronto. And he said that, you know, Mike Babcock came and talked to him about how he played and how he liked his style. And he said that his goal is to make the team out of camp, which obviously you're going to say, right? Everyone's going to say
this
that.
Is Borgman?
Like, yeah, this is Borgman. Okay. So what if he does? You know what I mean? So
it's not a bad thing. Can one of these guys play on the offside? Can they play on the right side, even though they're a left-hand defenseman?
That's the thing. I think putting, especially in your first year in the NHL, to put you on your offside, that's pretty tough because you already have to adjust with the speed, and then and quick thinking and making smart decisions. And then you're also gonna have to focus on being on your offhand. That's why I think if you reserve that left spot on the third pairing to one of those rookies, and then maybe bring in some kind of like veteran right-handed shot, I feel like that could be something good. Or if you have faith in Connor Carrick, and then maybe he has a rebound year, put him on that pair with whoever you have on the left.
So this is where I want Austin.
Yes.
When the Leafs signed these Swedish defenseman, you watched some film on them.
Yeah, I'm watching the film right now, actually,
so,
if somebody wants to.
Austin is kind of looking at the film right now. We may have to talk about this a bit more.
Yeah, that's fine.
Any of those guys play on their offside in Sweden?
It looks like Rosen is a left shot, and he's playing on the right side in Sweden.
Yeah. Because Philip Holm was a left-hand shot.
Yeah.
So this is where I was kind of going. Omar's point was that
it looks like they sort of alternated from what I'm seeing from these highlights.
If Rosen has experience playing on the right side, I mean, it's a little different than if you've never done it, then you have to do it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Maybe.
And he's done it in the men's league, which is good.
I mean, and yeah, he's done it at a high. I mean, the Swedish league is not something to laugh at either.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the, I think it's probably the third best hockey league in the world.
Probably, yeah.
Behind the NHL and the KHL. So I think that's where the Leafs can say we can have that. Now, it may not be a full-time thing. The Leafs are going to carry eight defensemen. We already know.
Yeah.
So this is where I think the whole suggestion with Connor Carrick. Connor Carrick played more. This was the most he's ever played. I believe he played, from what I was doing the RF, he's played over 60 games.
Yeah.
He's never played that many in the NHL. So people who are kind of giving Connor Carrick the, I don't even know what to call it, because they were.
Wow. That was a nice call. Awesome. Sorry, I'm just watching the Borgman.
Yeah. This is Austin. Like, this is actually this is usually Austin during class. Austin and I are in class together, and he sits beside me. We're working on something. All of a sudden, I hear Austin give me a nudge or say, "Nice call, dude. Watch this." A lot of it is just draft guys because Austin is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin is doing a great job with our draft rankings.
Oh,
if you're not,
it's mediocre.
I mean, it's doing pretty well for a site. If you haven't had a chance,
do you hear that sound?
I'm going to give it a little
Dave
plug.
Continuously pumping Austin's tires.
So I have to do it. I mean, it's his first day.
As I clap for myself.
It's first day, so. Yeah, I mean, when.
Thanks, guys.
I think that was a problem with Carrick is he's never played a lot in the NHL. Mm-hmm. His first time with the go-around with the Leafs, He was sheltered.
Yeah.
That team was not good. So the expectations weren't high. Then he comes in a sec. Look, what happened, the problem with Carrick is he had a really good playoff with the Marlies offensively.
Yep.
Offensively. Okay, the Marlies were not exactly the best defensive team. They relied on their offense.
Mm-hmm.
And they got manhandled by a Hershey Bears team that was experienced and knew how to deal with that team. And I think people had this expectation of Connor Carrick being able to step in and play that third pairing. I think it was a little too early for the people to have that higher expectation. Look, he not only played the third pairing, because I don't even think he played the third pairing, he played with Jake Gardner. He played with Morgan Riley. That guy did not have a stable defense partner all year.
I think most people saw Carrick in the playoffs and how well he did and thought higher than third pair.
AHL playoffs.
I mean, you don't want to jump to conclusions on a guy, but like a lot of people thought he was going to have top four potential, and he still might.
Yeah, but
he's 20, 23, right?
A lot of
right?
people are down on him this season, like to the point where they – like, a lot of fans don't want him here anymore.
Yeah, but, like, that was all based, like, to what you guys said, that was all based on, like, everyone always talks about, like, oh, he had 14 points in 10 playoff games. But that, so we're looking at the offensive aspect of that.
Yeah.
So are we saying that Carrick is a more defensive-minded defenseman or an offensive-minded defenseman?
He is, okay, first off, advanced stats guys really like him.
Okay.
Because he's not the most physical guy. He has some physicality to him. Don't get me wrong.
He's gritty as well.
He's gritty.
He doesn't mind getting in there against guys.
His size makes it a bit tougher for him to be that reliable defensive guy. And he didn't get a lot of offensive zone chances.
Yeah. So if we're thinking of him as more as an offensive-minded defenseman or a kind
I, of... I'm kind of... Yeah. He's technically supposed to be a two-way... Oh, geez. The Jays game is just gone out of hand. We started the podcast where they were down 4-0. It's now 8-0.
No, it's 9-0. Sorry, that scored and updated.
Oh, okay, 9-0. So for the podcast listeners, those of you that were depressed about the Jays games, we're very sorry for bringing that up again. From what I can see, Connor Carrick is technically classified as a two-way defender, just not good. His defensive skill is not what you're looking for your two-way defender.
So is what happened with Carrick this season kind of similar to what was happening with Morgan Riley this season?
I'd say so.
Where he was tasked by Babcock to be more defensive. At times, maybe got in over his head and made some mistakes. Because if you look at at Carrick's play and some of the goals he was on the ice for, a lot of them were just like Jake Gardner level brain farts. Yep.
Especially in the playoffs.
So, yeah, exactly. Right. So
he had a hard time getting Babcock's trust.
I was a huge fan of Carrick at the start of the season because I thought his breakout was really good. His first pass was really good at the start of the season, and he had a lot of patience. Like, he didn't just blind toss the fuck up the ice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one thing I don't like with some of the defensemen.
Martin Marincin,
who just throws biscuits up the center of
stop,
the ice.
Stop with that name.
Then what, Martin Marincin?
If I ever see 52, I don't understand.
Under the definition of biscuit is a photo of Martin Marincin.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So
the Oilers won that trade, and I don't even know who they drafted with the pick we gave them.
I think it was a fourth-round pick, if I'm not wrong.
They won it.
So
I freaking forgot about that.
Yep. We traded for him. We didn't just sign him. We gave up assets for that guy.
Just the thing with Carrick. I mean, look, Morgan Riley, when Babcock first came here, his goal with Riley was, we're not going to worry about your offensive game. We're worrying about your defensive game. We're going to put you... He really didn't play that well on the PK. He doesn't play a lot of short... Like, Backhaul doesn't want him to get worn down with the PK work. That's what Roman Polak and Matt Helmick are for. But he played him in those tough matchups. People always look at the plus-minus, which is a god-awful stat, by the way. The one thing I noticed when I did Riley's review this season, the Leafs' save percentage when he was on the ice was the lowest on the team. So is that the case of, is he giving up better chances? Is the goalie not performing well enough? Maybe they're getting a little more relaxed when he's on the ice. I think you're not going to see that next season. Mm-hmm. I think, the goaltending is not going to be what it was at the start of this season. Anderson is not going to be a goalie that's struggling out of the gate. I mean, he missed most of training camp with an injury. So I don't think that's going to happen to Riley. And look, Riley did not have a stable partner. And Carrick, I think that's maybe where the similarities were. those guys were kind of balanced with different partners. The Zaitsev-Riley pairing worked at times, and times it didn't. Mm-hmm. That's where I think Riley needs that stable partner, and that should be the Leafs' biggest priority.
Yeah.
From what I can – I was just looking up the Marinchin thing with the pick. Christian Willanin played in the USHL. Some guys that got taken after, Philip All, who looks like he's going to be okay for Ottawa.
Because Austin just wants to add to the misery, by the way.
Yeah, Matthew Joseph taken, was it 13 picks after for Tampa? Standout at the juniors this year.
Sorry, Jake. Yeah, another Tampa pick.
Ethan Bear, Dmytro Timoshov was taken after.
Yeah, well, I mean, Timoshov's got some work to do.
He looks very good, though.
He looks good. I think he just needs more time getting accustomed to a professional style.
He looks like he has a puck on a string at some points. That guy's really good with the puck.
Just needs to play with some better offensive players.
Yeah.
But back to the defense, because
sorry to
say we're trying really hard to get away from the defense, because we realize there's going to be – this is a thing that's – I think the bottom pairing we've kind of suggested, bring in a veteran guy to do the right hand – I mean, I think Carrick might be given a fair shot at that third pairing right – side. I think it's more than likely you're going to see that left side being battle between Dermott, Borgman, and Rosen.
Yeah.
And I like that because you're not relying – it's like this is Travis Dermott's spot. No, Travis, you're going to have to battle two Swedish guys who have a little more experience in professional hockey. Now, Dermott had the year with the Marlies. Sheldon Keefe sang his praises. So we know – he's the likely guy to move up. And I'm very – I mean, people are saying, well, he's only had 1 year professional hockey, but he's also a little bit older too.
I'm very excited to see what he can do. He was a monster.
He was a really good defenseman for the Marlies in the playoffs. He's very calm with the puck.
Yeah.
He's – I mean
– breakout is really good.
Breakout's really good, and that's what you need on that third pairing. Because
he knows when to jump up as well. He's not dumb about it.
See, teams are going to try to feast on the third pairing of any team because they can't get the puck out of their zone. But if you have a – this is where the Leafs benefit from having the defensive guy, you know, the prospects, is that they can break it out. They can get it out on their own.
Yeah. To build off your point on how the team isn't giving that spot to Dermott, that's something that the Leafs organization has been doing actually for the past 2 years now. I think at every draft, Babcock has always mentioned that internal competition is good. You know, we saw it this season, or even last season as well, with the wingers and stuff like that, and how you never want to have a position just given. You know, I know it's really cliche to say, like, you have to earn your spots, but, you know, with this new lease regime, you actually have to do that. So I feel that whoever ends up taking that third line, you know, that third pairing left side spot is probably going to earn it. Whether it's Dermott or Borgman or Rosen, we'll have to wait until, you know, rookie tournament and training camp to see.
I don't even think some of these guys are going to go to the rookie tournament. I mean, some will. I mean, they're going to.
I don't know if Rosen can. Is he?
No, I think anybody. I don't think it matters in terms of the age.
It's just if you're a rookie.
Some players don't go to the rookie tournament. I mean, Nylander went.
Yeah,
Matthews didn't because he went to the World Cup.
Yeah, Marner was there.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be the guys that they're not sure how they're playing in the system, and they're going to give them that extra time with the coaches. I mean, it's not, and let's not forget, it's not the Leafs NHL coaching staff that's overseeing the. I mean, they're probably watching the games, but it's the Marlies coaches that are getting their first look at guys that are going to probably be with them. So I think we're pretty much settled on Dermott, Borgman, and Rosen fighting for that third pairing left side. Now, before Austin, you get in there, I think Matt Hunwick is an interesting option to bring in as the seventh defenseman because he can play the right side. I think Matt Hunwick, his performance was more to do with having Roman Polak as his partner because Matt Hunwick can be useful.
Yeah.
Roman Polak could not get the puck out of the zone. He can't skate it out. When he can, he needs, like, so much space, and I'm trying to use my hands here even though we're not doing the video part. He needs so much room in between to get some strides going that's not – I mean, in the NHL, space is limited. So I think Polak had a hard time with that. And his leg injury is just going to scare a lot of people away.
Yeah.
I mean, the Leafs – if he's not signed, the Leafs may offer him a tryout just – because I think Babcock likes Polak.
It's a pretty gruesome injury. He did though. Like,
let me ask you guys something. So before, when it came to like free agency and signings and that type of things, before Leafs would sign players to like 1 or 2 year deals, then the mindset would be like, okay, let them play. We can flip them at the deadline. So if we were to sign someone in this year's free agency, what do you think the mindset would be? Would it be, you know, stay here for like 2 or 3 years, you know, so you can help us in a long cup run, or are we still in play and then we'll flip you at the deadline?
I think, okay, if you're free agency, I think for the Leafs now, in like for now, because you know you got guys who are part of this core, you're going to these free agents and you're saying, look, we're trying to build a contender here. Do you want to be a part of that, either one or two years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. You're not, I mean, you can go after, this is my problem. I mean, Chris has mentioned guys like TJ Oshie, like those type of guys. Problem with that is I think the Leafs are more concerned about making sure that their cap is invested on their own stars. Mm-hmm. That a guy like TJ Oshie is going to be like, I know you guys are going to be content. You guys are going to be a good team, but are you going to be able to afford me? Are you going to be able to pay me? So I don't see where the fit is there. I mean, he would be a great player. He's a really good player. I think he was a standout for Washington in the playoffs.
Yeah, 33 goals this year. So
he's a good player. I just don't see the Leafs going the free agent route and giving those long-term contracts, mm-hmm. unless it's absolutely necessary, unless there's a really standout guy on the back end.
Jonathan Tavares. No, I'm just kidding.
John Tavares. He's not leaving the Islanders, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He's stuck there, I think. He's in a tough spot. The French, they're going to offer him a lot of money.
I think you only really give out bridge deals at this point for guys, because really, what's the point in investing when you have, I mean, you don't know what you have in Valiev right now. He could turn out. Nielsen's coming up. I think we've all sort of agreed he needs another year.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I forgetting here? The two Swedes, obviously, are going to be making noise at some point. So you're not going to sign anybody to long-term.
No.
Some guys were talking Shattenkirk when they actually thought they had a chance at him. I'm talking before deadline.
Yeah.
When some people thought the Leafs had a shot at him. He's not going to get as much money as he thought because of that playoff run, but he's still going to be way too much.
We already know Edmonton's going right after him.
Probably.
Can we all agree?
I think he goes.
They have to, because
He's probably going to a big market. I agree, like Boston or New York.
Yeah.
But Edmonton's going to throw him.
I think Rangers make most sense for him, honestly.
Yeah. The problem with the Rangers, they need to get rid of some money.
Yeah, I think they have like 9 million. They only have 9 million cap space. They have a couple of RFAs they have to sign.
I hope the Leafs are not going after any of those guys. So
yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen. I forgot to turn off the computer audio.
The Jays scored a run.
Yeah. So this is going to be the most outdated Blue Jays update. Jays scored a run. All right. There's a couple. So we're pretty much in agreement with how the defense. Now, this is why I said when I asked for the suggestions for tonight for the guys to pick, I was looking for guys that can fit in the top four for the D core mostly. That's mm-hmm. why I picked guys like Brodin. I mean, Austin, you went throughout the fourth line there because you realize that's a big problem.
I think you shore up the bottom pair. I think that's the best thing to do for this season because, like I said, there's no definites in this free agent that are going to immediately turn your D around. It's not going to happen.
And then for me, I feel like you can also address a need on the Leafs, but at the same time acknowledge the fact that you do have an advantage in cap space, and you can also get additional assets from other teams for that.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at, for example, last year when Chicago had to get rid of Brian Bickle, that 4.5 cap hit, they also had to throw in Timo Teravainen to Carolina. Right,
yeah.
So if you can get some kind of deal like that, where we'll take your bad contract, we can make him serviceable for our team, but at the same time you can also throw us like a pick or something like that, or a prospect or something.
Yeah. So we'll be doing another podcast. I know some people are asking about the expansion draft. We will be doing another podcast on that. We're also going to do one on the draft. Chris has got a neat idea, so we'll let him.
You're going to want to hear this.
You're going to want to hear this, guys.
That was so bad.
Little tease plug we'll do there. Tim Haffey would not be happy with that tease put, by the way, Austin.
That's okay. We're still learning.
We got a couple of things before we end the show. I know it's this is probably one of our longer ones. We've been trying to keep them short because, you know, people don't really like to listen to long podcasts, but hopefully we've provided some entertainment. Two last things before we go. One, the Leafs are playing in another outdoor game. Yay! That was really childish. I didn't expect this, guys. I really didn't, because it took so long for the Leafs to finally get their own outdoor game. Outdoor game started when? 2007, 2008?
Yeah, around there.
Buffalo.
Of course, Buffalo gets the first one because that franchise desperately needed money. The Leafs then got a chance to play an outdoor game in Detroit, which was, I think that was the best scene for an outdoor. I don't think it was the best game.
Yeah.
No.
But the scene, that was cool. I mean, 107,000 people. My brother was there. He got tickets. I was watching it at home in front of a fireplace, actually, keeping my tush nice and warm while my brother was freezing. he said it was so cold. Nice. Then the Leafs obviously get the Centennial Classic, which I did go. I said I could not miss out on that one. I even spent a little more than face value for the ticket. I'm not ashamed to say that because...
Definitely worth it.
Although I was stuck in like the wind tunnel area where like the wind was just.
Yeah.
It was, sorry for anybody's ears right there, but it was really bad. But I mean, just seeing a bunch of grown men singing after Austin Matthews scored that overtime goal was just the best sight I've ever seen. And just the sight. And BMO Field was a great venue too, although wish they had more seats. Not benches. Metal benches in the wintertime it's a great idea.
Sucked.
That's because you're supposed to stand.
It was tough. We walked around. That's how we kept warm. We walked around. I dressed up for that day. So the Leafs are going to be playing a game at the Naval Academy, which is really cool.
Great facility.
Why it took the NHL this long to realize that that was a perfect venue? Like, the MLB had a game there this year. Yep. Boston and Washington, the Red Sox and the Nationals played.
Yeah.
Why it took the NHL this long to realize, hey, maybe playing a game in where the military are, that would be a great idea, no?
Yeah.
I think the NHL should have done that a lot earlier. I mean, Washington's played in a couple of outdoor games. I think, yes, the first one should have been in their stadium, but I think that second one should have been at the Naval Base. So that's going to be really cool. I mean, you're going to have a rematch of the first round, which is wicked. Hopefully Washington doesn't do anything really dumb to hurt their chances at being a competitive team, but I don't think that's going to be too much of a problem.
Yeah, two words, or actually, yeah, one reason, two words, why this outdoor great game is going down, Austin Matthews. If you look at the picture that they already have that's advertising in the Winter Classic, it's Alex Ovechkin, looking right at Austin Matthews. That's the only reason why this is going on. Yeah, wow. Sure, the team is better, but like you have, you know, this American player, first overall pick, who came from the desert, who is, you know, who's right now the best player on the greatest hockey market in the NHL. Sorry, other teams, it's the truth.
Oh, Connor McDavid might say something about that.
If you believe reports, one half of that poster might not even be where they're supposed to be come next year.
He's getting okay.
He's staying. We're not going to talk about that.
Way too long.
If a deal comes up, a hockey deal comes up, then maybe.
Oh my god! Why say
hashtag
that?
Hashtag hockey deal.
Why,
Mike?
I mean, we've seen PK Subban get dealt.
It's the Mike Bergevin.
Okay, so we're gonna pretend that didn't happen. One more thing, two more things before we go. I know I said two things already. Austin, you showed me a video. I totally forgot about this guy, Mira Altonen. He is another option. Now, fourth line center, maybe a little far fetched. He's not. He played wing for Finland.
Yeah.
But I totally forgot about him.
Yeah, I'd put him top six on the Marlies.
Going top six in the Marlies. But if you had a choice between Altonen or Ben Smith,
Altonen.
Ben Smith.
We're going ultimate.
More offensive value for Ben Smith.
In case those people in the comment section want to say, oh, what about alternate? We took care of that. Now, the final one before we go, and I actually remembered. I didn't need Austin or Omar to remind me. Saw a pretty sad tweet today that Bob McGill suffered a blood clot, which led to a stroke. I had the chance to meet Bob a couple of times, once at the Leafs rookie tournament in London. Very nice guy, you know. He's not, you know, the thing with those guys when they're doing the things with Marlies, they see the fans all the time. They're always interacting. Bob, wish you a nice, speedy recovery. I know it's very scary what you went through. I've had some experience with family members who've dealt with strokes, so we have you in our prayers. I mean, you're a great guy. I hope you're just taking your recovery well. I know the Marlies are, if you're hopefully you'll make it back, because I mean the Marlies could really use your voice next season. But guys, any last thoughts there?
Yeah. I've never gotten the chance to meet Bob, but obviously he's been a figure on Leafs TV for multiple years now. As long as I've been watching Leaf games, Bob McGill's a synonymous name with the Leafs broadcast now.
Yeah, I saw him a couple of years ago actually at Rico. It wasn't Adam Marley's game, but I was just in the area and I kind of saw him walking around. You know, had the biggest smile on his face. So, you know, he was, and after that, I walked up to him, said hi. You know, he's a great guy. So, you know, get well soon and hope everything works out well.
It got really sad. I mean, obviously, it's something that really sad. So, before we get all, everybody kind of thinks, oh, David's trying to end this podcast on a very sad note. I'm not going to do that because we have to remember that NHL draft is this month. Austin is keeping the picks going, so make sure that you are following those. I got to finish up all those reviews. Omar has actually got two pieces coming out. One that's coming out on Friday, looking at the William Nylander contract. I won't get too much into that, so hopefully you guys take a look at that. And then, you know, Chris is keeping up with everything, you know, expansion draft. Yes. Jake has got his prospects review coming up, so keep your eye on that. So to end it, thank you for listening to the TOT cast. I hope I was able to satisfy Chris's role for tonight, as I haven't even seen any messages from the game. So I hope they're getting whatever they're looking for.
A couple. Yeah, Warriors are up 35-30, I think, after the first.
Okay, so we've got picks are doing well right now. So if you want to follow us, make sure you are on our looking at our Facebook page, Tip of the Tower. Following us on Twitter, Tip of the Tower. SoundCloud, iTunes is where you can find the podcast. The YouTube video will most likely be put on my page because the site does not have a YouTube page yet, but we got to change that.
Yet.
Yet is the cool is the word. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. So you got at Chris O'Kranitz, you got Omar at OLW93. I got that right. Sorry, Chris. And then you got Austin at underscore Austin Owens. And then you can find me at D underscore Morisuti. And then you got Jake. I didn't forget Jake. Don't worry. At Jake Middleton 12. Thank you guys for listening. I will catch you next time.
Morgan Riley going live with the shot.
Toronto was proud and happy to select from Modal, Sweden, William Nylander.
The Knights, Mitch Marner.